This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Wind and fire for you. September, and indeed, that's what we have arrived at. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am indeed Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy and partner, Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us on this Tuesday, September the 1st. Wow. Can you believe it? It's really moving along. We got 2 months left till the voting in November. We'll be talking in a few minutes with Williamson Evers of the Independent Institute, and we're going to talk about the return of so-called ethnic studies to California, how they focus on certain groups to the detriment of others. So I think you'll find it interesting. Stay tuned for that. And both the governor of Wisconsin and, let's put it this way, is Trump losing the military vote? That's really the question. Well, according to the Military Times, he is. Can you believe that? That he would not get the military vote? We're going to talk about that. And a few other political goodies with the proprietor of the Barber Poll himself, Andrew Ceresi. And there's a bunch of other things we're also going to be talking about. Protests have erupted in L.A., now, that's not a good sign. We'll talk a little bit about that. A black man was killed there by some deputies. And in our ultimate top 10, kind of staying in the Hollywood vein, even though they're not, I don't think they're making any movies right now in Hollywood. I may be wrong. I wonder if they can make any movies, unless they're all computerized. Can you have anybody, can you have actors standing together and talking anymore? Would the unions allow that? How about all the unions that support all of the people, you know, behind the camera? Anyway, the top 10 greatest epic movies, like in Cast the Thousands. Top 10 greatest epic movies of all time. So stay tuned for that. By the way, I want to promote Good Morning America. Great show. And if you need a boost, I mean a real positive energy boost, you got to listen to Paul and Tracy, 8 to 10 a.m., Monday through Friday.
It's Good Morning Clearwater.
What did I say? Good morning. What did I say?
America.
I am losing. I'm starting to sound like Biden. I'm starting to sound. Do I need to go to the basement, do you think? Anyway.
Talk about your hairy legs.
I shave my legs. I don't have no stinking hairy legs. Anyway, it's Good Morning Clearwater. That's what it is. But you know what? It's really Good Morning America because they talk about all things that people all across the country want to hear. Paul and Tracy, 8 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday. Okay. So, why is Los Angeles all of a sudden having a problem? That's kind of scary. Protests erupted in southern L.A. last night after the fatal shooting of a black man by police. You know, it doesn't make any difference anymore, apparently, in these major cities in particular. If there is any kind of a confrontation with a black person, it's going to go bad. Because people are no longer the ones that want to cause the trouble. Not the majority of black people, but the ones that want to agitate for whatever reason. Immediately run to the garage and get all of the gas can and all the other things, the tools, and go running down into the, you know, to start something up. And that's what's going on. A demonstration took place at the scene of the shooting earlier on Monday afternoon when sheriff's deputies opened fire on a suspect during a foot chase Now, the man fled the scene. A fight ensued. Deputies caught up to him. The guy punched a cop in the face. You don't punch a cop in the face. What do you expect? You punch anybody in the face. What do you expect? They're going to hand you their car keys? Butter? What do you expect? He punched one of the officers. Then he dropped the items in his hand. Apparently he had some clothing. Now, maybe the guy was a little bit, you know, off. But the deputies apparently noticed inside the clothing, he had a black semi-automatic handgun. So there you go. So these are kind of, you know, these are the things. And, of course, the protests start up. Generally, every one of the people that have been, however you want to say it, by the police, have been thuggish. It's not like you're dealing with altar boys. They've either robbed banks, assaulted people, shot people. They've had, typically, all of these people, going back for years, have had criminal backgrounds. So they tend to have these bad interactions with police to begin with. It's not to justify any of the things that human being police can do wrong, and they need to be investigated, and when found wrong, they need to be prosecuted. But it's a tinderbox out there right now, and very, very scary. All right, here is something I think that's rather interesting. You hear about the odds makers, you know, and who's going to win the presidential contest. Well, according to J.P. Morgan, investors should consider the rising odds of Donald Trump winning. It says here, Trump's chances of securing a second term are surging in the betting markets, and investors are unprepared. They're unprepared somehow. An average of betting odds compiled by Real Clear Politics show Biden's lead shrinking to 1.9 points on Sunday. That's down from 24.6 points. So he's down to 1.9. So apparently it is going in Trump's direction. And you got to figure that every time something happens with rioting, that adds votes to Trump. It's the independents that are going to make the difference in all of this. But J.P. Morgan says a lot can happen in the next 60 days to change the odds, but we currently believe that momentum in favor of Trump will continue while most investors are still positioned for a Biden win. Now, that comes from their quantitative strategist at J.P. Morgan. That's something I always wanted to do in my dreams. I always wanted to be a quantitative strategist. I thought it would be fun to do that. And Ed, you were at one time a quantitative strategist, as I remember. And
in my spare time.
Yeah. So that kind of bodes well for Trump, does it not? J.P. Morgan says kind of shift your odds that way. It does seem like, now, Biden's finally out of his gopher hole, and he's going to, but he hasn't taken any questions. I mean, anybody can deliver from a, you know, actually, I think he probably delivers better than Trump does when they're reading things. Trump, when he starts to talk and lets go of the monitor, he's good. But when he's reading, he's kind of dull, isn't he? He's got that, I don't know, he just doesn't sound real excited. Then he starts to talk off script, and all of a sudden, it's like the sun rising over the hills, you know? So that's the way he seems to be. Okay, let's do this. We're going to take our break. When we come back, Williamson Evers is going to join us, and we're going to talk about ethnic studies out in California.
Sherry, Sherry, baby, Sherry, Sherry, baby, Sherry, Sherry, baby,
baby,
Sherry, baby.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting. Beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Thank you for being with us. We are back and delighted to have Williamson Evers join us. He is a senior fellow and director of the Center on Educational Excellence and assistant editor for the Independent Review at the Independent Institute. He has penned a piece in the Wall Street Journal called Critical Ethnic Studies Returns to California. Williamson, welcome to Freedom Works.
Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure. Now, we always worry, I say we, a lot of people that are conservative tend to worry a little bit about the direction of educational studies in the classroom and the concept that perhaps we're not getting quite the balance perhaps in when we take our history courses, et cetera, that maybe we used to get. Is that true? Are here in California with these ethnic studies, are they indeed highlighting one group to the detriment of another?
Well, let me unpack a little bit of what you just said. Yes, there's a problem in history courses around the country, particularly the ones that have aligned themselves with the New York Times' 1619 Project, which argues that the whole basis of the United States is slavery, exaggerates the importance of slavery to the U.S. economy in the 19th century, and just generally argues that the principles of the Declaration of Independence, of Thomas Jefferson, of James Madison, of George Washington, were not important, but instead the whip of the slave is the only thing that's important in American history. This, obviously, slavery existed. It should be part of the study of young people. But American ideals were much more important and overcame slavery. So there's that problem. And there's a separate problem of ethnic studies, which is a course separate from history. And it's both in higher education and in K-12 education. So in California, they have a model curriculum, and they also have a law saying, the proposed law, saying that California students, in order to graduate from high school, have to take a semester-long class in ethnic studies. And then the question of balance and who's being left out. and left in. So these classes are not balanced. They are ideological propaganda. They are indoctrination. And I can go into that a little bit. But as far as the groups they concentrate on, it's only, these classes are only about blacks, Latinos, Asian Americans, and American Indians. Nobody else, Jews, Armenians, Italians, Poles, Irish, they're not in there.
Really? So is there this victimization philosophy that goes on in these courses? Because that's what it seems.
You're exactly right. Okay. It's all identity politics, which is, you know, we all should be judged and everything should be seen through the lens of skin color and race. And it's also victimization. So, you know, we have a variety of ethnic groups in America. That's certainly a fact. It actually gives us some strength as well as causing us some strife. But these ethnic groups have things that can be drawn on. That's how many of them have climbed the ladder over the years. The Irish at one point were at the bottom of the economic ladder, and, you know, people had signs out, "No Irish need apply." Paddy wagons were called paddy wagons because of paddy being a nickname for Patrick, which was, it meant that they were rounding up Irish criminals. So the point is, they've climbed. And, you know, in more recent years, Japanese, Chinese, Koreans had loan clubs, kind of financial cooperatives where families, kinship groups, friends would pool their money, help entrepreneurs in their group in rotation start up businesses, and they climbed from the bottom to the top and reinvigorated many declining central cities. Certainly true in California and Oakland and Los Angeles and in many other places. So there's nothing inherently weakness in being in these ethnic minorities. It can be a source of strength and solidarity in climbing up economically. None of this resilience on the part of cultural groups is in this curriculum.
Okay.
All victimization. It's all a tale of oppression and how capitalism is bad and evil and malign and so forth.
Wow. We're talking with Williamson Evers. He's a senior fellow at the Great Independent Institute. He's penned a piece called Critical Ethnic Studies Returns to California.
Right.
Now, California's, you know, it's always leading in some way, whether it's bad or good, you know. And so
right.
Are the rest of the states doing the same thing?
Yes, this is coming in other places as well. So if you're in Florida or some other state, keep an eye out. These sort of fads, if you will, or trends, you know, they often begin in higher education, so in colleges and universities and ed schools that train new teachers. That's a source of a lot of this problem. And this particular thing, ethnic studies, stems from a student strike at San Francisco State University back in the 1960s. And it's gone on from that, but it's vulgar Marxism combined with identity politics.
Yeah. You know, you talk about victimization. I can't think of a group that's been more victimized than Jewish people. The Holocaust,
right.
Millions of people gassed to death.
And
even wherever they go, they are looked upon in many ways, let's be honest, they're looked upon as people that you can't, you know, are not trustworthy in certain ways. Certain groups think that. So
that is a stereotype, yeah.
So they've always had this stigma, and yet we don't see that.
Right, yet in this ethnic studies model curriculum.
How about they're not in there?
They're not in there as victims.
That's what I meant.
And by the way, you know, Jews have done well as suffered. So it's a combination.
Yeah, exactly.
Part of their true history.
They would be the perfect.
But in this curriculum, they are people of white racial privilege. So they're part of the oppressor group, according.
Right.
Here, as you're saying, here's a group that historically has suffered from every kind of persecution, every kind of suffering, and survived in spite of all that. And yet they're depicted in this curriculum as a special privileged group.
Yes, yes. It's a very, and of course, right now in these times that we are going through, I mean,
right.
It's a tinderbox. It's a tinderbox.
It is.
And,
but this program does not give us the kind of balanced view, this kind of a realistic view, a sense of positive potential. It's, you know, it's promoting the anti-Semitic and racist Nation of Islam as an exemplar and topic of study for students. It lists cop killer Mumia Abu-Jamal.
Really?
Another model.
Did they put him up on a pedestal? Really?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, then there's something wrong. That's terribly wrong. How does that get by the review boards in California? Are they all that far left?
Well,
I mean, are they taking over? There's supposed to be some sort of review.
You may well be describing it.
Yeah. Very strange and scary.
That's right.
You know, I can go back and remember, and it's not like when I was growing up, and that's a long time back, that we didn't realize slavery was wrong, and we were taught it was wrong, and we weren't taught that the people that founded our country were racists. We weren't taught that the people that fought on the Confederate side in the Civil War were racists. It was a definite issue. But, you know, we were smart enough to understand that all people are equal because our Constitution,
right.
we were taught that. I don't
right.
think sometimes that the kids are given enough credit for their common sense. I don't know. But there's no question they're trying to inculcate. I think it started to some extent in colleges first, and then it sort of
right.
floated into some of the...
On the other hand, you know, to give a controversial or tendentious class in college is one thing. You know, you have much more mature students than you do in the K-12. It's, and I'm not saying there aren't indoctrinating type classes in college and university. There certainly are. But it seems to me a much worse thing to take these students that are much more captive.
Very true.
In the K-12 system.
Yeah, they're more malleable.
Shift around and
right.
aren't really independent actors, and trap them in these classes and bombard them with this stuff.
No question about it. You would think the parents would have their ears kind of up, you know, and kind of keeping an eye. I don't know if that's happening.
Here's the problem. Obviously, parents have a lot on their minds, but they don't realize that the time to stop this sort of thing is to nip it in the bud, okay? So it's going on in some bureaucratic, you know, channel in the state capitol, and they're not following this. Why should they? They have, you know, other things to do. And then, when it's sort of too late, it's in their kids' homework, right?
Yeah.
What is this? Where did this come from? Well, you know, if you had stopped this 6 months ago, maybe you could have stopped it. But now, they've bought all the books, they've assigned all the homework, they've trained the teachers in it. And also, bureaucrats don't like to admit they're wrong, right?
That's true. That is so true. But, you know, I don't know. So many people warned of the creeping tenets of anti-constitutional socialism.
Right.
And I used to think as a kid, you know, that's never going to happen. But in some ways it is happening, and it is kind of scary.
Well, I mean, this model curriculum cites Howard Zinn's inaccurate narrative of American history 20 times. It's full of socialist criticism of America.
Yeah.
And out of nowhere acknowledges the perils of socialism. I mean, it's not that
right.
the Communist Party of China, it's country is part socialist, part not socialist, but look what they're doing to these people in Chinese Turkestan. Look what they did to the Tibetans. Look what horrible stuff Stalin did to various nationalities.
Absolutely.
Including
yeah.
the Jews. It's not that socialists and socialist countries are somehow protective of minorities. It's really the opposite.
Yes,
they
indeed.
Want to homogenize everybody and make them worship the leader and worship the government. And hey, if you're different, they plow you under.
Absolutely right. Williamson Evers, thank you so very much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure. You raise a very, very important point. I hope people are realizing that we have to be so much more proactive when it comes to the kids and what they're being taught. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Going to take our break. And when we come back, is Trump losing the military vote? Did you know the Military Times says that right now, according to their polling, he is indeed losing to Joe Biden? We're going to talk about that and a few other political goodies with the proprietor of the Barber Poll, Andrew Ceraci.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the Tantalk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We will concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM to Good Morning Clearwater.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on a Tuesday, September the 1st, and I'm just reading this. It came across the wire here. CNN political analyst Joe Lockhart publicly questioned today or yesterday if Donald Trump had a stroke and was hiding it from the American people. He took to Twitter and asked, did great Donald Trump have a stroke, which he is hiding from the American public? Lockhart may have been referring to a Salon report published yesterday regarding Trump's unexpected November 2019 visit to Walter Reed Medical Center. That visit, quote, "that visit is among the many things that author Michael Schmidt discusses in the new book, Donald Trump versus the United States." Well, I don't know. If he had a stroke, usually it slows you down. It seems to me that the stroke that he had made him go and become even more energetic. So we brought our buddy from his barbershop, the proprietor of the only poll that matters, Mainstream America's Barber Poll. So what do you think about this, Andrew? Is Trump dealing with a stroke, or is it the other way around, you know, Biden?
Well,
what?
I think he got confused. He meant to push in Joe Biden on the keyboard,
possibly.
But he got confused. Did you see when they brought in Ozzy Osbourne yesterday to translate what Biden was saying to the 200 people they bust in for his rally in Pennsylvania?
Well, now, I think Ozzy Osbourne really did have a stroke at one point.
Yeah, well, he's been translating for Trump so that people understand what's going on.
Okay.
Or for Biden, my mistake. I said,
for, Biden, yes.
For Biden, yes.
Yes, he would be. He'd be a wonderful translator. Yes. So you'll have the translator that's doing sign language, and you'll have Ozzy Osbourne. That's great. You'll have it all covered.
You're gonna need him.
Okay.
You're gonna need him, Paul. They had 200 people at his rally yesterday, and they bust him in. Come on.
Okay. Let me get to this story that's kind of a little bit scary to me. The latest Military Times poll shows a continued decline in active duty service members' views of Trump, and a slight but significant preference for Biden in the upcoming November election among the troops surveyed. The results, collected before the conventions earlier this month, appear to undercut claims from Trump that his support among military people is strong. Do you believe the Military Times poll?
Well, again, I don't know who wrote that article, but I could tell you that my best buddy just retired with 30 years in the Coast Guard, and he said it's Trump, Trump, Trump all the way. Everybody.
Okay. Well, in the latest results, based on 1,018 active duty troops surveyed in late July and early August, nearly half of the respondents, 49.9%, had an unfavorable view of Trump compared to 38% for Biden, or no, compared to 38% with a favorable view. Now, that to me is a little scary, because usually the military can be relied on for Republicans in presidential elections.
Well, I don't doubt that the Democrats have got their hands in everything, every article people are writing, okay? It's off the wall for Trump. He's got more momentum. You answered your own question this morning when you said the odds makers.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
I tend to think so.
Paul, they're trying everything they can, and it's going to get even better. Okay, you asked me where I found with Rasmussen. You know George Papadopoulos, right?
Yeah.
You heard the name. Well, he just posted this morning for the Rasmussen poll, like I told you before, that he's saying that Rasmussen's saying 30% of the blacks are going for Trump, Paul.
Well, that would be amazing, and if that is truly the case, that 30...
I mean, you asked where I get these things from. This morning I wrote this down. It was George Papadopoulos with the Rasmussen Report. Okay?
Well, but George Papadopoulos does not work for the Rasmussen Report.
Well, no, but he posted this, so, you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see.
Okay? I'm beginning to believe these other polls. I don't believe these low ones, Paul.
Yeah.
The same thing happened in 2016.
No,
Look at the CDC. Oh, as a matter of fact, 7 minutes ago, did you see what just happened?
What?
The stock market broke its highest point in August in 36 years.
I'll tell you what, that stock market is very optimistic.
Okay. So what does that tell you? Biden, give me a break.
Yeah.
The guy's a meatball.
I think
What about this report the CDC came out with now? Out of 153,509 people supposedly died of the coronavirus, you're saying no. That's not the true facts. It was only 6%, which is 9,210 deaths.
The CDC said that?
That's right. It's all over the computer this morning.
What exactly is the CDC saying that you're saying? The Center for Disease Control now
says... That's right. That's right. They are saying that out of the 153,509 deaths that we've had in this country, only 6% were due to the COVID virus. Everything else was the guy got hit by the motorcycle, the guy got shot in Wisconsin, that's all. Those are all gone.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying it's 9,210 deaths, Paul.
Okay, well.
And they're not going to apologize for their mistakes. They're keeping it quiet.
Well, we'll see where, if it appears on the mainstream, like the Fox.
It's not going to appear on the mainstream media, Paul.
Well, Fox News would.
You know it. No,
whoa,
no, no.
Sure
Fox is losing it too, Paul.
Oh, you think
Fox
so?
Fox is losing. I told you, you want to hear the news, you got to go to One America's News.
Okay.
How can Fox be any good now? They got Ron, the little guy there, Juan Williams. He's a moron.
Yeah, but Juan Williams is.
Donna Brazel in there. Come on.
Well, wait.
Fox is losing it.
Okay.
And you know what? Hannity's getting boring. So I'm tired of hearing about Hannity selling books. That's all he does. That guy should be a library.
I think that Fox News, look, there's no question that they do have some people that, you know, go over the edge. Sean Hannity, certainly, I get tired of listening to him because he kind of is like a record. He says the same things over and over again. Juan Williams is brought in because they got to have a couple of liberals there in the stable or people
who are going, says? Does CNN get any conservatives?
That's what makes Fox News better, because they will bring in liberals, and CNN will not. I mean,
they're losing their ratings.
Well,
like
they're not. Wait a second. Fox News is getting all-time high viewership numbers. That is not true. They
are
getting all-time.
Because they're adding
the
liberals watching now, wanting to hear Donna Brazil. Come on.
Anyway, I know.
Well,
that,
let me
ahead.
Tell you,
go ahead.
My money is still on Trump, big time. Big time. Let me tell you something. You're going to see a landslide, and I'm telling you, you can argue with me. I'm still saying California is going to go.
If California goes, I'm going to buy a crown. I'm going to buy a pearl crown, and I'm going to come over there and mount it on your head, because that'll be the most amazing situation, which would mean every...
And don't go to Burger King and get one of their crowns.
Well, no, those are paper mache. I'm not going to... not getting those.
But, yeah, I think, Paul, I think you're going to see something happen. The stock market keeps going the way it's going. You saw Biden speak yesterday, didn't you?
I did, and he's just reading something.
You heard it. Did you understand him?
Well, you know, here's what I've said. I said it earlier on the show. You may not have heard me say it. I think when Trump reads things, he does kind of sound dull, but when he opens up, looks away from the teleprompter, all of a sudden he brightens up and away he goes. When he speaks extemporaneously, he sounds very, very, you know, good.
He sounds like every other politician.
But when he reads from the teleprompter, you can tell the difference. But I think Biden does actually read from the teleprompter a little better than Trump does. But then Trump,
he's been doing it for 47 years.
But once Biden pulls his eyes away from the teleprompter, he might as well go back down the gopher hole.
Boy, I would love to be the teleprompter controller in that situation.
Now, yes, indeed. Yeah, because you would stop and make it go backwards, and Biden would continue to read it.
That's right, and he'd sound like he normally does.
And then it would sound like he normally does, reading backwards.
You got it.
Oh, I see. Well,
I don't believe they got a shot in hell, Paul. And I'll tell you what, I think the next couple of months we're going to see them going bananas.
Uh-huh.
You're going to see these people going bananas. They're going to try every trick in the book. And you know what? The more violence they produce, the better it is for Trump, Paul.
I think it is. Now, in Los Angeles, as you may know, there's been an outbreak because a policeman did indeed shoot a black man. We talked a little bit about it earlier on the program. And now we've got in South Los Angeles some protesting. There was a fatal shooting of a black man last night. So
I'm quite sure he was an honor student in college and everything else,
too.
No,
every one of these people that have been that have had this thing going all the way back to Ferguson, Missouri, are thugs.
No.
Every one of them was a thug. Every
one
of them have a record.
I can't believe you're saying that. I thought these were good family men.
They're not altar boys.
That took care of their family and worked hard.
And that's the thing that we got to be more honest about it. These people were already... had criminal records. Most every one of them did. Had criminal records.
So I guess the world's not any worse off, is it?
So what is a policeman supposed to do? When these people start to go for a knife or go for a gun or punch you in the face, which is, I think, what happened here in Los Angeles, the guy got punched. The cop got punched. I mean, these kinds of things.
Well, they need to call the social workers, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, they were supposed to call the social workers. They messed up on that one.
Yeah. So I think you're right. Now, I'm waiting for Joe Biden to actually take a question, and I don't mean some fawning question like, how great is it to be in the Democratic Party, Joe? I mean a really tough question, like, how to peel an orange? No.
How to peel an orange would be a tough one.
It would be.
Did you enjoy the mashed potatoes this evening?
There you go, Ed. You got your. I love when he pops in.
Yeah,
he comes up with a good one.
Okay. I want to hear the first question in the debates.
When is that debate supposed to be? Is it September 9th or something?
That's a good question. I'm not sure when the first debate occurs. I think it might be a little later than that, but I'm not positive.
You know, they should charge for that, like they do the fights. They'd probably make a fortune.
I want to see how long it takes the mainstream media to bring up the name Hunter Biden.
Nobody's going to bring it up.
I think it should be on pay-per-view, because I'd pay. I'd make an evening of it. You know, dinner.
A lot of
people
are going to. Drinks. No question about it. This is going to be beautiful.
It's going to be the most. You're right. I think it might be the most watched debates of all time.
We could have a stutter.
It's going to outdo the Super Bowl, believe me.
Yeah, it very well might.
We could have a stutter count.
How many flubbles? Instead of a fumble, it'd be a flumble.
Well, either that or. You ever notice that as he poor guy, as he starts to lose it, his eyes start.
If
his eyes were wings, he would fly in the air. Did you know that?
Yeah.
He starts to flutter his eyes. I'm surprised he doesn't levitate while that happens.
He goes off subject. He could be talking about the economy and how it's not doing well, and then all of a sudden the economy's not doing well, and you know, I had a tricycle once and my wheel fell off.
And it was really nice.
I never got it fixed. Next question.
You guys are very cruel. Both of
well, we can't. You know what? They True. Keep putting them out there. We're going to keep doing it, Paul.
I love you, Andrew, and I'm going to see you in a little while today. But as always, thank you so much. We're going to be talking on the air again this Friday, and I know a lot more things between now and Friday, so we'll have a lot of things to talk about.
You got it, Paul, and may Donald J. Trump be with you.
Thank you very much.
See you later.
All right, buddy. Oh, boy. The Barber Pole proprietor, Andrew Ceraci. We're going to take our final break. Hey, did you notice that the Tampa Bay Lightning have made it to the, I guess you'd call it the semifinals? Talk with Ed a little bit about that. And also the top 10 greatest epic movies.
Oh, honey, honey, you are my candy girl, and you got me wanting you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food & Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge is all...
Hey everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on Freedom Works. I am Paul Malloy. Thank you so very much for listening to us. By the way, we are here every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m., following Good Morning Clearwater. And delighted to be here. But if you can't listen to us live, please listen to us from our website. Big Ed sets up all our shows on podcast, so you can go there and listen whenever you would like. OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com.
Paul, we get a little breaking news here, locally here. The name Dixie Hollins High School mean anything to you?
Dixie Hollins, go ahead.
Yeah, it's been around Pinellas County, I think Pinellas Park, for 50, 60 years. They're dropping the name Dixie.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Because of the word Dixie?
Yeah.
Strictly Dixie, or is it because...
No, Dixie refers to the Confederacy in Dixie.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
Not the person.
No.
The person was okay. It's the name Dixie.
It's going to be called Hollins High School now.
Oh, I see what you're saying. This is really getting scary. This is really getting scary.
You know, somebody wrote a letter, you know.
This is when political correctness bites you in the rear end, and this is what's happening here. And speaking about all of that nonsense, listen to this. The mayor of Philadelphia, facing criticism after a photo emerged, he was dining indoors in Maryland while his own city restaurants in Philadelphia are only permitted to serve customers outside. He was sitting inside in a restaurant in Maryland, and he got caught. What hypocrisy. This is Jim Kenney, and so, there he is, sitting inside with his wife. And so the guy takes his picture and posts this: glad you're enjoying indoor dining with no social distancing or mask wearing in Maryland tonight, while restaurants here in Philly close, suffer, and fight for every nickel just to survive. So believe it or not, he had an answer. He had an alibi. He said, I felt the risk was low in the Baltimore restaurant because the county I visited has had fewer than 800 COVID-19 cases compared to over 33,000 cases in Philadelphia. Regardless, I understand the frustration. Okay, sir, please pass the ketchup.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
My goodness. All right, Ed. I was watching a very exciting hockey game last night. And yet two of the best players on the Lightning were not playing. And yet the Lightning pulled it out in overtime. I believe the score was 3-2. Mm-hmm. And they beat the Boston Bruins 4-1. They're moving into the semifinals. I don't know. Did I leave anything for you to make a comment on that?
They're in the Eastern Conference Finals. Yep. So it's one more game to get to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Well, one more series. That's right. Now, it looks like they might be playing the New York Islanders the way the other series is going. I think that would be very interesting. Yeah. But what about the health of the Lightning going into it?
You know,
what about Stamkos? He hasn't been playing at all.
We don't know. There's been reports that he's left the bubble and he's not going to play the rest of this year. But then they pulled with Hedman earlier in
Victor
the
Hedman.
Yeah, earlier in the what was the Blues series, the St. Louis Blues, that, you know, he went out with a severe, looked like he had a really severe injury, and nobody knew that he skated the next morning. They thought he'd be out for days, and they were able to do that because media is not allowed in there, so they can do whatever they want. I mean, okay. Steven Stamkos could be skating right now, and we wouldn't know it, you know? So we don't know because there's no media there.
Okay.
So, but it was interesting last night because I'm flipping between the Rays and the Lightning, Rays and the Lightning, and the Rays and Lightning.
They're both doing well.
It was in the ninth inning. You know, we were looking to close out New York. The Yankees was mounting a little bit of a comeback. It was 5-0. It was 5-3. And you're like, oh, no. The bullpen's going to lose it. And at the same time, the second over period was starting for the Lightning. And you're back and forth. And, you know.
You're going to get, what's that issue you have when you, yeah. you, I can't think of the
carpal tunnel syndrome.
Yeah, your carpal tunnel, turning your.
The remote, okay.
I guess the Islanders are up with one more victory on their side would put them in the in the semifinals.
Right.
So that would be very exciting. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure that indeed the viewership in any sport right now has returned. What do you think?
Yeah,
return to its normal.
You know, it might be for the best right now because a lot of people are just really ticked off at pro athletes right now.
I think they are.
This might be the best thing for them right now, especially the NFL. The teams that are not going to have fans in the stands, it might be the best thing for them.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people that are really ticked off. So. Yeah.
Not so much with hockey, although they've also made a little bit of a comment, but not as much. But I'd be curious to see what the ratings will be for hockey, whether compared to a year ago or whatever.
And not so much baseball. It seems that with hockey, that's coming from the higher-ups and the NHL, and Major League Baseball higher-ups are doing that. It doesn't appear that the players are having this epiphany that they're going to honor these people. The NFL now, I just saw that the NFL players are allowed to put victims of police brutality, whatever, on the back of their helmets this year.
This is not going to go.
This is really
not going to go well because once you start opening that slippery slope of political comments on your jerseys, your helmets, your socks, or whatever, I think things go downhill. But we will see. All right, Ed, time for you to move over to the drums. We have another good movie index list from the American Film Institute. These are the top 10 greatest epic movies. Now, epic movies, as in cast of thousands, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But generally, also, large-scale films set in either fictional or non-fictional history.
Okay.
That's kind of what they're all about. You kind of get the gist, all right? So without further ado, here we go. Number 10. Number 10 was the Ten Commandments.
Okay.
Now, biblical epic, right?
Right, right.
Cecil B. DeMille, Charlton Heston. Cast,
that was always an event to watch at Easter time.
Yes.
Long movie, too. Like three and a half hours, I think.
Very long.
Yeah.
And Cecil B. DeMille was like the master of making the biggies back then. Number 9. Reds. Did you ever see that with Warren Beatty and Diane Keaton?
No, I did not.
Had to do with the 1917 Russian Revolution.
Okay.
And it was based on the true story of kind of a communist sympathizer that went over from the United States and spent some time in Russia. Okay, number 8. Did you see Saving Private Ryan?
Yes.
They consider that an epic. Well, I guess because it was a huge landing of our troops during D-Day.
A bit gory and a bit busy in the beginning because it was bullet flying everywhere. Bullets flying and flying.
It kind of settled down after those opening
after that,
scenes.
Kind of got into the story, yeah.
Did you like the movie?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, number 7. And don't say I was there when it was done because I wasn't. But the movie was All Quiet on the Western Front. It was made in 1930. It was based on a famous book and had to do with cowardice in World War I. It was very well done, even for 1930, apparently, and I watched it on TV a couple of times.
Of course you weren't there. You taped it.
You're a bad man. You're a bad, bad man. Actually, I didn't tape it because back then we had only kinescope, so I kinescoped it. Number 6. Titanic.
Yep.
Epic movie.
Yeah.
Although a lot of the computer-generated people, let's be honest.
That was the breakthrough for computer generation, you know.
I agree with you. You're right. There were some scenes there where, like, people were falling from the thing, and you could see.
So real.
It was computer. Yeah. It couldn't have been real.
And real quickly, the people that had to spend so much time in the water, they said it was very tough.
Yeah, probably so. You're
freezing
right about
water.
That. Was it really that cold?
Well, in the studio. Yeah, it was. The studio, yeah.
They were heating it up.
Yeah.
All right. Number 5. Spartacus. Ever see that on TV?
No.
Kirk Douglas?
No.
Well done movie. Number 4. Well, you've heard about this one. Maybe we even saw it on TV. Gone with the Wind.
Okay.
Did you ever see that?
No.
Ed!
I don't care to either.
Ed! It's supposed to be the greatest movie ever made and you haven't seen
it. No, that's what they say.
Now you got to go watch it. Number 3. Schindler's List.
Yeah, I saw that. That was a very sad movie.
Well, it was depressing.
Yeah.
Did you like it?
Yeah, very well put together.
I thought it was very well put together. And it had to do with this guy Schindler that was protecting Jewish people.
Right.
Number 2. Ben-Hur.
Yeah.
Charlton Heston, he's the epic whatever, the king of epics.
Yeah.
Did you see Ben-Hur?
No.
Ed.
No.
1959, a great movie. All right, Ed.
I don't think
I can rely on you for this.
Mine, I thought it was Titanic, but it's not.
I'll give you a big hint. There was a lot of desert in it.
That narrows it down. I have no idea.
Okay. Lawrence of Arabia.
Okay.
Peter O'Toole, great movie. I recommend it, 1962. All right, everybody, thank you so very much. We will be back on Friday. Be safe, and remember, freedom works.